Today's shiur is Masecht Beis Daf Hei, and we will begin on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Itmar Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah. Yesterday at the end of the shiur, we discussed the 2 days of Yontif we celebrate in Chutz La'aretz. Today's shiur will focus on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. And as we will learn in the Gemara, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara is going to consider, are they considered one long day of Yontif, or are they considered two separate Kedushas? The 2 days of Yontif in Chutz La'aretz, we established yesterday, are two separate Kedushas, because they're based on a Suffolk. Given that we did not know when Rosh Chodesh was, and therefore we don't know when Yontif is, we're celebrating the 2 days out of a Suffolk. Given that they're a Suffolk, one day is Yontif, one day isn't. We just don't know which one is which. They consider two separate Kedushas. The Gemara is going to consider, what is the halacha with Rosh Hashanah? Is it considered one Kedusha, or is it considered two Kedushas? And as the Rambam says, if it's considered one Kedusha, if it's considered a Yom HaRichta, then it's considered that way, L'kula U'L'chumra. What's the example of a Kula that the Rambam gives us? We know that the halacha is that if somebody wants to walk more than 2,000 amos in one direction, he has to put down an Erev Tchumim. So what would be the halacha on the 2 days of Yontif that we just discussed in Chutz La'aretz? And somebody puts down a Yontif is Tuesday, Wednesday. Somebody puts down an Erev Tchumim Monday evening before Yontif, and it's there. So on Tuesday, Monday night being Tuesday, he could walk in that direction. If before Tuesday night that Erev is no longer there, he can't rely on the Erev from Monday afternoon for Wednesday, because they're two separate days. And the Erev for Tuesday can't help you for Wednesday. Says the Rambam, Rosh Hashanah is a Kedusha Yom HaRichta. It's one Kedusha. You put down the Erev Monday afternoon, it'll work. And even if it's not there anymore by Tuesday evening, it doesn't have to be there. It was there for Tuesday. Tuesday and Wednesday in the Halacha is one day. That's how the Rambam learns. The Ravid disagrees. He says, we only say it's considered one day, l'chumra, not l'kula. Another example, is cooking. We know, if it's considered one day, we know that halacha is you're not allowed to cook on one day of Yontif, for the next day of Yontif. So now the Magen Avraham says, that even though the Rambam holds that it's one long Kedusha, he won't agree that you could cook on the first day Yontif. Again, let's say Rosh Hashanah is Tuesday, Wednesday. To go cook on Tuesday for Wednesday, when we know really Rosh Hashanah is Tuesday, we're all doing it because of what we're going to learn in the Gemara, that the Magen Avraham says the Rambam wouldn't agree to. The Gra says no. The Rambam holds it's one Kedusha. If it's one Kedusha, it's one day. So it's like cooking for the beginning and the end of the same day. And the Bi'ah Locha explains the Gra very beautifully. He explains that why we explained in the previous year, why are you allowed to cook on one day? If Yontif is on Friday, why are you allowed to cook for Shabbos? Because we have a concept of hoyl. Hoyl and mikalei orchim. Since if guests would come, you're cooking for them. You never know if guests will show up. Says the Bi'ah Locha. According to the Rambam, there's really no iser d'oraisa to cook on the first day of Rosh Hashanah for the next day, according to everyone, because we have a hoyl. So the only issue is a shayla d'rabbanan. For the shayla d'rabbanan, the Rambam holds it's one long kedusha. However, says the Bi'ah Locha, if we're relying on a hoyl, the guest may come, we could only cook from the first day Rosh Hashanah for the second day Rosh Hashanah, according to the Gra, in enough time that the food that we prepare, we could still serve to the guest on that day. Let's say night is at 7 o'clock, and we begin cooking at 6:30, and the food wouldn't be ready to serve the guest, then you have even the Gra, according to the Rambam, would not agree. And the Mefarshim explain al Pidrush, also, why is Rosh Hashanah considered one long day? I saw from the Yaros Tavash. The Yaros Tavash says that we know Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the Seres Yimei Tshuva. He says that each one of the days of the Seres Yimei Tshuva correspond to a different one of the Aseres Adibris. That we have to work on ourselves on those, for those to make sure that we do tshuva for them. What are the first two Dibrois of the Seres Adibris? Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, Lo Yilcha Elohim Acherim. So the two sides of the same coin. Believe only in Hashem, and don't believe in any other God. So that's why the 2 days are really one long Kedusha. Another pshat that I saw, very beautiful pshat, is that in Hebrew, there are two words for one. There's Echad, and there's Rishon. What's the difference between Rishon and Echad? Rishon represents that it's the beginning of a series. Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi. Echad represents that there's one, only one. What's the best proof? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem, Echad. We say Echad, not Rishon, because Rishon would indicate that there's more. The Torah, when it speaks about Rosh Hashanah, says, Be'echad l'chodesh hashvi. The Echad. The Torah uses the word Echad, not Rishon. If Rosh Hashanah is two Kedushas, then the word Echad is inappropriate. It should use the word Rishon. So it must be that both days are one long Kedusha. The Magen Avraham holds that the Magen Avraham says to cook on the day that's Yontif, for a day we know is really not Yontif, is inappropriate.
So why would you make the distinction between cooking and the
Erev? Because Erev is only the Rabbanim, and cooking is the Raisa. Itmar. Shnei Yom Tom Shosh Rosh Hashanah, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, Rav Shmuel Ar Mitavayu, Nol De Bezeh Sur Bezeh. If an egg was born on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, it's also on the second day, because it's really one long day. It's not like the 2 days of Yom Tov Shel Golius that we said yesterday, that if an egg is born on the first day, on the second day, it's mutter. That's not. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. B'Rishonah Yimekam Eidus HaChodesh Kol HaYoyim. We know that Rosh Hashanah is the first day of Tishrei. The first day of Tishrei could either be day 30 or day 31 of Elul. As we explained yesterday, how were they Mekadosh HaChodesh? How did they determine when Rosh Chodesh is? Through Edom coming. So Edom could have come any time on that day. And whenever they come, if they say they saw the new moon, and Beis Din accepts their Edus, it's a new month. Says the Mishnah, Pam Achas Nishtal Edom Lavoi. The Edom got delayed. And it's already late in the afternoon. And as Rashi and Tosfos explained, they already brought the carbon tumet shel ben habayim, and the Edom hadn't come yet. So not knowing if it's Yontif, if it's Rosh Hashanah, and you're seeing the shir shel yom of Rosh Hashanah, or is it not Yontif, and you're seeing the regular shir of that day of the week, the skalkal alvim b'shir. So the alvim didn't know what to do. They sang the shir of that day of the week, using our example, it was a Tuesday. They sang a yom yom shlishi. And then Edom came, and it turned out that they sang the wrong Shira. So Tosfos points out, we're only concerned about the Shira by the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. In the morning, no matter, even if we knew for sure that it was already Rosh Hashanah, they always sang the Shira of that day. It was only an issue in the afternoon what Shira to sing, and here they didn't know what to do, and they ended up singing the wrong one. Tosfos Kasha will get to there. Hiskinu Shloim Kamus Edom Al Arad Mincha. So they said that even if Edom come after Mincha, we don't accept him. And Bo Edom Acha Mincha Lamalif. Even if Edom come later, Nahag and Oisa Yom Kodesh, they consider that day Rosh Hashanah Lamacha Kodesh. Even though we really know that the first day should be Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because they made it into one long kedusha. It's not a suffix. They made the 2 days into one long kedusha. Ask Tosfos, why are we concerned about the Shir? Why are we not concerned about Musaf? And Tosfos makes the question better, because Tosfos says, we know that Halacha is, that once the Tumah Shel Ben Arbayim is brought, it's too late to bring the Musaf. So if we're going to declare this day Rosh Hashanah, we're going to end up not having brought the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. So Tosfos says two terutzim, one which are really very similar. One terutz Tosfos says is, that although there's a Halacha that you're not allowed to bring a carbon after Tumah Shel Ben Arbayim, it's not a hard and fast rule. If necessary, you may. And he explains Tosfos in the second teretz, the chiv to bring a carbon musaf Rosh Hashanah is a chiv shel rabbim. The rabbim have an obligation to bring that carbon musaf. Therefore, says Tosfos, that supersedes any other consideration. Tosfos attempts to say another teretz, which he himself doesn't accept. Tosfos says that perhaps they should bring the tumah shel ben arbayim and make a tanai. If it's Rosh Hashanah, this should be the Musaf. And if it's not Rosh Hashanah, it should be the Tumah Shel Ben Arbayim. Tosfos says technically it wouldn't work. I saw the Mefarshim gives other answers to Tosfos' question. So Gvaldig Akasha. One teretz is that a missing Musaf, people don't notice. Because who brings the Musaf? The Kahanim, the Beis HaMikdash. Not everybody will notice that the Musaf wasn't brought. Shira's song, everybody hears the song. So that's something that's much more noticeable if it was done wrong. The Tori Evan gives another beautiful teretz. He says, every Rosh Chodesh you have to bring in Karban Musaf. And every Rosh Chodesh you had this problem that maybe the Eidim come late. So missing Musaf on Rosh Chodesh was a very common occurrence. So it's nothing that they were disappointed or surprised about. Singing the wrong Shira didn't normally happen, and that's why it's more of a concern. And another teretz I saw is the chiv to bring a Karban Musaf is a chiv d'oraisa. The chiv to sing Shira is drabonim. We have a klal throughout Shas, divrei soifrim, tzrichim chizik, yois mishal tayru. We have to be more careful with drabonim than with d'oraisa. That's why we're more concerned about the Shira than we are about the Musaf. Points out the Miches Chinuch. He says, look what's going on here. We know that today should be Rosh Hashanah. The Eidim came late. It happens. We know today should be Rosh Hashanah. The power of Beis Din, we spoke about this in Masechet Sukkah also, to manipulate the Yom Tovim and the months, even though we know that today should be Rosh Hashanah. Ask the Miches Chinuch a Gevaldig Kasha. We're going to learn a Gemara. The Gemara is going to say tomorrow, Daf Vav, the most years Elul is only 29 days. We know, in fact, in our calendar, Elul is always 29 days. So he says, why can't we rely on a Rosh? Why are we so quick to say that the Eidim aren't coming, given that we know that most years the Eidim come, so we should rely on the Rosh, that the Eidim will show up. So he says, we can't rely on a Rosh in this situation. There is a problem with this Rosh, because Rosh years the Eidim come on this day, but they come before Mincha. The Eidim haven't come before Mincha. So we see that this year is an aberration. And we can't rely on the Roi because the Roi was Nisra. Amar Rava, continues the Gemara, teaches us Rabbah, but Takanis Rabbi Yochanan Zakav Eilach, there's another Mishnah Masechta Rosh Hashanah. The Takanav Yochanan Zakav Eilach, Bein Mutaris. From then on, the egg that's laid on one day, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, is Mut on the second day. That's not. We learned in the Mishnah Masechta Rosh Hashanah. Mishachar Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. We no longer have a concern that they're going to mess up the Shira. There is no Shira. There is no Beis HaMikdash. So Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan Zakai. So now Rabbi Yochanan Zakai said, we don't have to have this rule that we're not Mekabel Eidus only to Mincha. She Mekabel Eidus Echadish Kol Hayoyim. So now, if the Eidim come on the first day is Yontif. If the Eidim don't come on the second day is Yontif. So there's no problem that we have 2 days Yontif. And even as the Meiri explains, we may end up holding 2 days Yontif because we don't know, we're waiting the whole first day for the Eidim to come, and we're holding it Yontif because they may come. At the end of the day, if they don't come till the second day, only the second day is Yontif and not the first day. So there's two separate Kedushas. Amay Abaya. So Abaya asks, for Rav Shmuel Amar Tavayu, we just began today's Shir, the Rav Shmuel that taught us, Be'ya Surah, that it's considered one long day. So how could you tell me that it's mutter? Amalei, so he answered him. Minaloch ano, I quoted to you a Mishnah. The Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is a Tana, and he's a Mishnah. And you're telling me of Rav Shmuel? If anything, it should be a Kasha on Rav Shmuel. How are they ignoring what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai taught us in an explicit Mishnah in Masechta Rosh Hashanah? At Amritli Rav Shmuel, you're worried about Rav Shmuel? So says the Gemara, or the Rav Shmuel Kasha. How will Rav Shmuel explain that Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Mas Nisan Lekasha. Halon v'haluhu. Rav Shmuel was certainly well aware of that Mishnah. And Rav Shmuel understand that after Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai changed the rules, Rosh Hashanah is only one day. We may end up celebrating 2 days, but it's only one day. But where is that relevant? In the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, where we had the Beis Din. Anywhere a little further, there was no way to notify them. So everywhere else held 2 days. So when Rav and Shmuel say Rosh Hashanah is one long day, they're speaking about the whole world outside of Yerushalayim. And Rav Yochanan Zakkai was speaking in Yerushalayim. Now we begin a very beautiful sugya. Yeah. Now we begin a very beautiful sugya, which is called Dovah v'Shabiminyan, Tzorach Minyan Achal Atirai. Whenever there's something established by a Beis Din, even if the circumstances change, you can't just say that the rule is no longer relevant. You have to have another Beis Din, and the Aloch is Tzorach Beis Din Achal Gol b'Minyan, and B'Chokhmah has to be same count and greater, which effectively means that there's never going to, part of our theology is that the previous generations are better, so you're never going to have a better generation, you can't be mevatel gzeira. Just a few words of introduction to this concept. The Rishonim point out, if when the first Beis Din made the rule, they made up front, they set a condition that if necessary, changed conditions, the rule is no longer relevant, then this Gemara is not what we're talking about. Another thing that the Rishonim say, this discussion in our Gemara is when Beis Din made a rule. But let's say a previous generation learned a pshat. And then the next generation comes and say, they learned wrong pshat in the pasuk. They learned wrong pshat in the Mishnah. That is in a situation that you needed another Beis Din to undo it. It was erroneous. The Rambam says, there are certain situations that a later Beis Din, even if they have the minyan, and even if they have the golem and a bechachma, can't undo. What is? If it's a gzeira that was well established in Klal Yisrael, a later Beis Din under any circumstances cannot undo. What's the example? We learned in Masechet Shabbos about the Yud Ches Tavar, the 18 gzeiras. Most of them affect Tumah v'Tahara. The Rambam says that's an example that's hard and fast and can never be undone. Here we're talking about rules that are not that hard and fast. I saw a very interesting Tshuvas HaRosh. The Rosh asks a question. There's a Gemara, there's a few places in Shas, it's Masechet Yevamos. The Gemara says that Chazal said you're not allowed to wear linen. The beged for the tzitzis is not allowed to be linen. Why? Because tcheles is always wool. So if you put linen, wool tcheles on a linen beged, you have shatness. So Chazal said, don't wear linen dal knofes. We wear linen, the godim, for tzitzis. How come? The answer is because we don't have tcheles. I asked the Rosh. We're learning a Gemara now that only a later Beis Din, you can't undo a gzeiras Chazal. So the Rosh makes a very interesting distinction in this definition. He says there's something called a gzeira and there's something called a takona. A takona cannot be undone only if the later Beis Din's golem and a bechachma b'minyan. A gzeira can be undone. And Ratvaz, the Shem Tzion Balacha quotes the Ratvaz, gives a very nice example. He gives the example of two drabonons on Shabbos. One drabonon is Amir al-Nakri Shvus. Everybody knows you're not allowed to tell a guy to do malacha for you on Shabbos. There's another din, that you're not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos, because Shechika Samamonim, because soon if you're going to take medicine, we're not talking about a Chayla Sheyesh Besakana, or even a Chayla Sheyem Besakana under certain circumstances. A regular person can't take medicine, because we're afraid he's going to make his own medicine. Says the Ratvaz, who knows how to make medicine himself nowadays? Nobody knows how to make medicine. So he says, in case that there is no other option, perhaps one could take medicine. It's a gzeira. It's a gzeira. Chazal made a gzeira. So even if the reasons aren't relevant, we can't undo it. Says the Ratvaz, it's a gzeira, not a takana. And the Rosh says, a gzeira can be undone. However, Amir al-Nachri Shvus is a takana. So even if the reasons that Chazal gave for that takana are no longer relevant, you can't undo it. However, there's one more important word that we have to add. It's a me'iri in understanding our Gemara. We began this year that a Mishnah Masechet Rosh Hashanah that says because they had the problem with the shir by Tamid Shir Ben Abayim, they did not accept Edom after the Mincha. Then we quoted a Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, says the Beis HaMikdash is Charev, we could take Edom all day. How could he undo what a previous Beis Din did? Says the Me'iri, there's a difference, very important Me'iri, there's a difference if the circumstances for the first Gzeira still exist or don't exist. If the circumstances for the first Gzeira exist, you need another Beis Din that's called Mena B'chachma U'B'minyan. If the circumstances no longer exist, like the case of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, the Beis HaMikdash is Charev, there's no more Shira, you need another Beis Din. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was a Beis Din, but that Beis Din doesn't have to be Golem and a Bechachma. It just has to be a Beis Din. Ask the Gemara. Now we can begin the Gemara. Rabbi Yosef Omar, after Mitakonis of Yochanan Zakkai, even though Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said that we take Edom all day, Beya Surah, we still cannot eat the Beya. My Tama, have a Dovish B'minyan, Chazal made a gzera, as we started the shiur, that you can't have, that it's one day, you can't eat the beya from one day Rosh Hashanah to the next. The kaldom v'shevimin yitzarek minyan akla ha-tayr. Om Rav Yosef. From where do I know this concept? So he calls the psukim and we'll explain them on Amud Beis. Lech amalem shuv lem lalechem. V'oimer, it says another pasuk, m'shoicha yoivul heimiyal bahar v'tanan. And we learned the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, kemrevai. We know that the halach is the fruit. The first 3 years that they grow are orla. You're not allowed to eat them. The fourth year, it's called kerem revai. It has the same halacha as maisa. The midaraisa, either they should be taken up to Yerushalayim to be eaten in Yerushalayim, or they should be redeemed and the money taken to Yerushalayim and spent in Yerushalayim. However, the Mishnah teaches us in Masechet Maisa Sheni, kerem revai hoy oil Yerushalayim. Chazal made a rule that the fruit, if you lived within a day distance, a day's travel distance of Yerushalayim, you have to take the actual fruit to Yerushalayim, and you can't redeem him. Mahalach yom echel chotzad. If you live within a day of Yerushalayim, you have to carry it. Zuit chuma. What is the boundaries? Eilat min adorim. If you live from Eilat and up, that's a day's trip to Yerushalayim. Akrav min atzofen. Loid min amariv. Yadim min amizrach. V'amo iulavitem rabbi bechana. Om rabbi yoichan matam. What's the reason Chazal made this rule? That you shouldn't be allowed to redeem the fruit. You have to actually take them up. We want there should be an abundance of fruits in Yerushalayim. So if everybody's carrying up the kerem revai to Yerushalayim, there's going to be a lot of fruit in Yerushalayim, in the market. Ask the Bar Tanura, Gevalda Gekasha. The halach is you're not allowed to sell kerem revai. So what's the Gemara saying? What's the Mishnah saying? I'm taking all this kerem revai to Yerushalayim to have a lot of fruit in the market. I'm not allowed to sell this fruit. So he says like this. You're right. The kerem revai you're not allowed to sell in the market. But if everybody brings their own kerem revai to Yerushalayim, the fruit that is in the market will remain in the market because people don't have to buy that much fruit. So you'll have the shuka Yerushalayim full of fruit, not the kerem revai fruit. Of course not the kerem revai fruit. You're not allowed to sell that fruit. It'll be full of the other fruit because there won't be so many customers for it. V'tanya, and we learned in a braisa. Kerem revai hoyo le'Rabbi Elazar b'Mizrach Lod. Rabbi Elazar lived in Lod, b'tzad Kfar Tebi, next to Kfar Tebi, u'bikish lafkir laniyim. He lived within a day's travel distance to Yerushalayim, and he knew that you have to take that fruit to Yerushalayim. He didn't want to schlep it, so what he did was, he made it hefke for aniyim, they should take it. So the Mefarshim asks, we know that the halacha is hefke laniyim. If you make something hefker only for one group, why have a hefker? So what does this help? So one answer I saw is that Beishamai holds that hefker laniyim have a hefker. And Rabbi Elazar was a Talmud of Beishamai. Dor Sameach says a different teretz. Dor Sameach says, when is there a halacha of hefker laniyim loy have a hefker? That's if you just sit and you mafka something privately, and you say that it should only be hefker for one group. That's unacceptable. Hefker aniyim lo yaveh hefker. But let's say when you're mafker in front of the aniyim, there everybody agrees, hefker aniyim have a hefker. And the third teretz, the simple teretz is, the Gemara uses the word hefker, but he doesn't mean hefker, he means a matana. He gave it to them as a gift he could give. So why did he do it? Because he knew that he can't redeem those fruits in Lod, because it's too close to Yerushalayim. He didn't want to have to carry it to Yerushalayim, so he's giving it to the poor people. Asks Rashi and Tosfos, as we'll see obviously in the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar lived after the Beis HaMikdash's Chorev. So what's the point of taking to Yerushalayim? There is no Beis HaMikdash, there is no Yerushalayim. So Rashi answers, the Rabbi Elazar holds, Kitcha l'shata, kitcha l'asalavai. Even after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, it doesn't take out the Kedusha from Yerushalayim. That's how Rashi explains. Tosfos explains, very interesting teretz. He says, normally the halacha midaraisa is that if you have something which is hegdish, you have to be paid it on its, if you paid it even on a pruta, you have something worth $1,000 and you redeem it for a penny, it's acceptable. Chazal said you shouldn't do it. But now that the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, we revert back to the din, the hegdish shavim mana, Shechilaloy al shava pruta. That even if you redeem it on a pruta, it's acceptable. So that's what these poor people did. They got a large lot of Kamravai. They took it to Yerushalayim. They redeemed it for a pruta, and they kept the rest for themselves. Ubikish lafkila aniyim. Omloy talmidov. So why did he do it? Because he said, I don't want to carry it to Yerushalayim. Omloy talmidov. Talmidov said, you have no problem. Rebbe, kvar nimno alacha chavirecha vitirua. This gzeir that Chazal made, that all fruits that with all kamravai that's within a day of Yerushalayim, they undid. Man chavarecha, who were the people that undid that takana? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. But what do we see from this brisa? Tamnu de nimnu, because Chazal, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, got his bezdin together, and they said that the original takana should no longer be in force. Holoi nimnu, if they wouldn't have gone through that process, even though the reason for the original takana is no longer here. We don't have a base of Migdosh. Still, loy, it wouldn't be acceptable. Why? Because even though the first, as the Miri tells us, even though the first reason is no longer relevant, you can't just say that the Gzera falls away. You have to have a Bezdin come and officially undo it. Before we go on to the next Gemara, the Mefarshim, just to talk halacha, Kerem Ravai, there's a Machloikis, what is the status of Kerem Ravai in Chutzlaretz? People have fruit trees. So we need to know what is the status of Kerem Ravai. The Shulchan Aruch brings down two shittas. First shita is that it doesn't apply. The second shita is a Yeshayim that it does apply. The Ramah says that it applies to grapes, not to any other fruit. But the Shach says that we should be machmer to treat all fruit in Chutz Laretz as Kerem Ravai. And if you have a tree, then it's the fourth year, you have to be careful to repoid it, not just to eat it, not just eat the fruit. So continues the Gemara. Maiva Oimer. When we quoted the Gemara, Naman Aleph, the Gemara quoted two psukim to prove that you need another Bezdin to go through a process to undo what the previous Bezdin did. And as Rashi explains, the Gemara's question now is a twofold question. Number one is, what are these psukim teaching us? And why do I need two psukim to teach it us? Says the Gemara Hachkam. Michtik Sif. The pasuk says, Hayei nechayinim l'shloishish yomim atikshol isha. The Torah told us that for the shloishish yomei agbola, we are not allowed to approach Har Sinai. Lech, and then the pasuk, that's for the shloishish yomei agbola. Then the Torah tells us, Lech emolahem, go tell them, shuvalam lalechem, that they could go back to have relations with the wife. Lamali. Why does the pasuk have to say it? The 3 days are up and finished. Shema mina, kol davish b'minyan, tzarech minyan achal atiroi. Since the Eibishter, Kadosh Baruch Hu told us we can't have relations with our wife, it only could be undone if we have explicit pasuk telling us that we can have relations with our wife. V'chi teima, but you have to say that can't serve as a proof, because l'mitzvah oinu hudasa, the pasuk is telling us that not only can we go back to our wives, we have an obligation. Every Jewish husband has the obligation to have relations with his wife. So that's not a proof. The pasuk is telling us that we have an obligation. So that pasuk can't be a proof. So Gemara is going to bring another proof. Ask the Mashal. Why does the pasuk have to tell us that we have an obligation to have relations with our wife? Why does the Torah have to tell us again? We all learned Parashas Bereishis. And in Parashas Bereishis, the pasuk says, Pruvu. We have an obligation to multiply. We have an obligation to have relations with our wife. So what does the Torah have to tell us a new mitzvah? So Maram Schiff answers a very interesting teretz. It speaks to Jewish theology. He says, the people of Klal Yisrael, after Shloish Yisimei Agbola, might come to make a mistake. They may think that there's a certain level of Kedusha that one should aspire to, not to have relations with his wife. What's the proof? Shloish Yisimei Agbola, we were told not to have relations with our wife. Tells us the Torah, it's only for those 3 days I told you to do that. The rest of the time, there is no such obligation. The rest of the time, a person has a mitzvah's oina, a person has to have relations with his wife. That's the Jewish way. Celibacy is not the Jewish way. That's the Maram Shif's teretz. The Meshech Chachma says a very nice teretz. He says, until Kabbalah's HaTorah, Klal Yisrael were all B'nai Noach. They were considered non-Jews. We became Jews by Kabbalah's HaTorah. By Kabbalah Satar, we got the rules who we may and may not marry. So let's say somebody was married to a relative before Kabbalah Satar. that a guy is allowed to be married to, and a Jew is not allowed to be married to. So now, after Kabbalah Satayr, he'll think he's not allowed to go back to his wife. Because he got the mitzvahs, and the mitzvah says you can't marry, let's say, an aunt. Says the Meshech Chachma, what the Pasuk was telling us is, that all of us, by Kabbalah Satayr, were considered gerim. And the halacha is, gerishin is gayer, kikata shenay ladami. It's not considered like he has any relatives. So even people who before Kabbalah Satayr were married to relatives, since both of us are gerim, we could go back to those wives. Dimrei Emes, along the same lines, says the halacha is like this. If somebody becomes a ger, the halacha is that he's not allowed to marry. If somebody becomes a ger, the halacha is that he's not allowed to live with his wife for the first 3 months. Let's say he and his wife convert. He has to wait 3 months. Why? Because we have to have avchana. We have to have a time of separation between the children that might have been conceived when he wasn't Jewish versus the children that were conceived when he was Jewish. How can we be certain when we have this 3 month interim period that they don't live together? So now all of Klal Yisrael, we just said, became gerim by Har Sinai. Halacha is a ger has to wait 3 months. So they might have thought, for the next 3 months, we can't have relations with our wives. We're gerim. We need avchana. So Kadosh Baruch Hu told them, you don't have to have avchana, you can go right back to your wives. What? The Miriamis. So if this is not a proof, Toshma, the Gemara brings a different proof. The Pasuk says, B'mshaych ha-yoyvel, after the shofar will blow, after Kabbalah Satayra, Heima Yal Bahar. Then they're allowed to go back up to Har Sinai. Till then, they weren't allowed to go up to Har Sinai. Michti. So the question is, why do we need this Pasuk? The Pasuk says, Michti Ksiv, Gamatsoim Vaboka Yira Mula Harhu. As long as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as long as the Shekhinah is on the mountain, they're not allowed to be on the mountain. So the question is, Meshach HaYoyev Lamali. Once the Shekhinah goes away, there should be automatic that they should go back. Why does the Pasuk have to explicitly allow them to go back? It has to be explicit. Ask the Gemara, the Chitayma, if you'll say, so we have two psukim. So why are those psukim not adequate proof? They're called Dovish Minyan, Tzarek Minyan Achalatira. The Chitayma, because you'll say, Hani Mili, when was this said? Bidai Raisa, Abud Rabbanon Loi. By the Rabbanon, you don't have this concept. Tashma, that's why the Gemara on Amin Aleph quoted the din of Kerem Revai that they have to take up to Yerushalayim, which is the Rabban and the Gedin, and still we saw that there's a concept of Kol Davish B'minyan, Tzarech Minyan Achla Tiroi. So see, even by the Rabbanans, this concept exists. Tashma, Kerem Revai, well, Kerem Revai is the Rabbanan, and still, as we learned on the Tabit Amid, the Karmelei Kva Nimnu Lech Chavrecho V'hiturah. Says the Gemara. So now we go back to our original question. The Gemara said that after Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said that we could take Edom all day, then the bay that's Nolda, that's born, that's laid on the first day Yontif, is Mutter on the second day. We asked the question, there was a gzera that you can't eat that egg, and called Dorosh B'minyan Tzarech B'minyan Achlatira. The Chitayim, so what are you going to say? Bay Namni Imnola. Rabbi Yochanan ben Yaakov Asher Yua. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when he said you could take Edus all day, what he was saying was that you also could eat the egg that's born on the first day, Yom Rosh Hashanah, on the second day. Says the Gemara, that's not true. Ki imnu, Edus. What Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was talking about was strictly how, till when you could take Edus. Abeilo imnu. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wasn't talking about eggs. So what are you telling me there? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai undid the original gzeir of eggs. We don't find Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai undoing it. Omle, Abaye, Otabe, B'minyan Mi'avoy. It's not, there was never a beferisha gzeira that the egg born the first day of Rosh Hashanah may not be eaten the second day. What happened was, Be'be Eidus Talyam Milsa. What Chazal said was, as we learned at the beginning of the shir, that you're not allowed to take Edom after Mincha. Once Chazal said you're not allowed to take Edom after Mincha, Itzur Edus. Once Chazal said you're not allowed to take Edom after Mincha, automatically Itzur Beya. Not that it was explicit. And therefore, Ishtri Edus. Once Chazal said you can't take Edom all day, once Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said you could take Edom all day, automatically Ishtri Beya. The halacha is that you could eat the egg that was born on the first day of Rosh Hashanah on the second day. after Shita Mekubetzes. Gvaldige Kasha. Let's, from what do we understand in this Gemara? That let's say Taka, Chazal would have made a gzera, that an egg born on the first day may not be eaten on the second day. And then afterwards they changed the rules regarding when you could take Edis. It would not affect the halacha of the egg. That's the Shita Mekubetzes, why not? The truth of the matter is that these two concepts are so connected. So why shouldn't it be? So says the Shita Mekubetzes, what the Gemara here is teaching is the power of Kol Dovish Minyan Tzarech Minyan Achal HaTirai. Even though all of us understand that the reason an egg that's born on the first day Rosh Hashanah may not be eaten on the second day Rosh Hashanah is because of the Halach of Edis. And therefore we should automatically assume that if the laws of Edis change, that should automatically change the law of the Beya. Not true. You have to have it said beferish. It has to be said explicitly. And if it's not said explicitly, it's not changed. Rav Adar Hasham Tavayu, Mibay Kaluchas Amri, they say, Af Metakanos Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Ve'elech Beya Surah. They say, even after Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's change, that we take Edim the whole first day of Rosh Hashanah, still the Beya that was hatched on the first day of Rosh Hashanah would be also on the second day. And he says a very nice explanation. My Tama. Meheri Banu Beis HaMikdash. We live with the Amuna Achakaloi B'chol Yom Shiyovai, that the Beis HaMikdash is getting rebuilt. V'yoymu. Now, when the Beis HaMikdash will get rebuilt, we're going to revert back to only accepting Edim until Mincha. As we learned at the beginning of the Shir, that there shouldn't be a problem with the Shira. Once we have that rule, then the halach is, like we said at the beginning of the Shir, that an egg that's born on the first day is also on the second day. What's going to happen? V'yoymu. People are going to say, Ashtakid, last year, when we were taking Edim all day, Milo Yechal Nebei B'yontif, we ate the Bey that was born on the first day and the second day. Ashtakid, Milo Yechal Nebei B'yontif, Hashta Nami Nechal, now two we should eat, V'lo Yadi, and they won't recognize the shtakit last year, shtei kedushas, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah were two separate kedushas. Why were they two separate kedushas? Because we took Edom all day. V'hashta kedusha achas. Ask the Gemara if we have such a concern that we're going to make a mistake that just like last year, this year, so why are we allowed to take Edom all day? We should be concerned that we'll say that just like last year when there was no Beis HaMikdash, we took Edom all day. This year, when there is a Beis HaMikdash, we should take Edom all day. And because of that, we should not even allow us to take Edom all day now. Ihachi asked the Gemara, Edus Nami Lo Kabel, why shouldn't we take Edom? My Tama, Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. The Yomer, and people are going to say, Ashtakid last year, Miloy Kabalno Edus HaChoydish Kola Yom Kula. We took Edom all day. Hashtag this year, we'll still continue doing that. Nekabel will also take Edom all day. And that's not true because now we have a Beis HaMikdash. We're only allowed to take Edom till Mincha. Says the Gemara, you can't compare the two. Hachi Hashtag. Hosom, Edis, who accepts the testimony? Edis Mesur LeBezdin. Bezdin takes the Edis. So since Bezdin takes the Edis, so Bezdin is learned enough that they know there's a difference between when the Beis HaMikdash is standing and when the Beis HaMikdash is not standing. Beya, who eats eggs? L'chol Masur, everybody eats. Not everybody learns the Daf Yomi. Not everybody knows there's a difference between the Beis HaMikdash is standing versus when the Beis HaMikdash is not standing. So I saw from the Shar Mitzion Balacha a gewaldige point. He says that this concept, that there's a difference between something that's only in the hands of Beis Din and something that's only in the hands, and that's something that's in the hands of everybody, there's a relevance la'aloch l'maisa in our world. We know that on the Ka'ara, by the Seder, we put two cooked things. One representing the Karban Pesach, and one representing the Karban Chagiga. But the aloch is, when we learned Masechet Pesachim, we learned this, the aloch is that if Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, they didn't bring a Karban Chagiga. So the question is, why, if the first night of Pesach is Matzoi Shabbos, do we put something Lezecha Karban Chagiga? That should probably make a mistake. The next year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help, we'll have a Beis HaMikdash, and the person will remember the last year I had a Karba Chagiga on my Kara, it's a proof that even when Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, I bring a Kara. I bring a Chagiga. So we should never put, we should, when Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, we shouldn't put a Chagiga. We should put an egg on the Kara. Says the Shamat Tzina Balacha. What did Al Gemara teach us? That something that's in the hands of Beis Din, we won't make an error. Where's the Karba Chagiga brought? It's brought in the Beis Hamikdash. The Kahanim know the rules that when Shabbos is Erev Pesach, you don't bring a Karba Chagiga. So that's why that will prevent us from making any mistake. I saw from the Ostriftzer, he asks a very cute question. He says, what's Al Gemara saying? That next year Beis Hamikdash will be built, and they're going to say, the last year we ate the egg on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, and this even the first day of Rosh Hashanah was awesome, but the second day was mutter, we'll make the same mistake. We shouldn't, because the rules of Kabbalah's Eidus will change. Ask the Me'ere Ne'echam, the Ostriftzer. We know, the Gemara says it, we learned this, that in this world we pass in like Beis Hillel. When Mashiach comes, we're going to pass in like Beis Shammai. According to Beis Shammai, a bey that's null to Beyontif, the first Mishnah of Amasechta, is mutter. So what are you worried that Mashiach's coming? And we're going to make a mistake. When Mashiach comes, we're going to pass in like Beis Shammai. And we're passing like Beis Shammai, so then the egg is anyway mutter. So he says two answers. One answer, he says, is that when are we going to pass like Beis Shammai when Mashiach comes? When Beis Shammai is a machmer. In our Mishnah, as we pointed out when we began the Masechta, Beis Shammai is a mekel. To pass like Beis Shammai when he's mekel, we're not going to do when Mashiach comes. Another answer he gives, an interesting answer. He says, just like we know that the Gemara says that there were times Klai Yisrael had the animals conceived and laid the eggs in one day. Beis Shammai, he says, will agree that when is an egg that's born on Yontav Mutter if it was conceived and ready the day before. But if the animal conceived and had the baby on Yontav, even Beis Shammai will agree that such an egg is Asur. Says the Ostriftzer, when Mashiach comes, chickens will conceive and hatch eggs in one day. So then the Beis Shammai will agree that that egg is Asur. Says the Gemara, Rav Amar, tells us Rav, and this is the halacha l'maisa, even after Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said that we take Edom the whole day, Be'asura. The egg born on the first day Yontif is also on the second day Yontif. Why? Because Milo Yimayda Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Because he explains that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai agrees that even in Ba'a Edom and Mincha L'mala, the Edom come after Mincha. And Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says that now we're after the Churban and we accept the Edom that came after Mincha. Still, that doesn't mean that the next day is not celebrated as Yontif, Rosh Hashanah. Shnoi Agim, Oysa Yom Kodesh, Ulamacha Kodesh. That day and the next day is Kodesh. Now the question is, why is the next day Kodesh? We know that the first day is Aleph Tishrei. It must be because Chazal tells us Rava made up that Rosh Hashanah should always be celebrated for 2 days, and those 2 days should be one Kedusha, even after Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. So if it's one Kedusha, even everybody will agree that the bay that's nulled on the first day is also on the second day. And tells us, Rava, Hilchasa Kavosei de Rav, the halachas like Rav Bahani Talas, Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra. What are the three halachas? The first halacha is, that we learned yesterday, that if Shabbos and Yontif are consecutive, Shabbos then Yontif, Yontif then Shabbos, Beya Hanol de Bezu, an egg that's born on the first day, Asur Bezu is also on the second day. That's Chumra. The second halacha is, when you have 2 days of Yontif Golias, their halacha is that the egg that's born on the first day is mutter on the second day. And the third halacha is, by the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, an egg born on the first day of Rosh Hashanah is usur on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, because we consider it like one long 1 day. During the
oh, I forgot to announce it. 11:15. That tomorrow, 11:15. Thank you.
we're learning here at 11:15 tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to be here tomorrow anyway.